Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined today by Alex and Michael, who are monks at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Alex and Michael.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
Hi, Michael.
How are you doing today?
I can only speak for myself. Super.
Okay.
And I'll speak for me. I'm doing just fine.
Great. Great. Alex, tell us about food and the kitchen, the monastery.
Okay. Well, I could talk about, the aspect of putting the menu together and the kind of things that go into planning it and the kinds of things we consider actually at the monastery as we look at serving food to people. And there are several components to it. One is we like to produce very healthy, very tasty vegetarian food for people that is low in fat and high in nutrition. And so there are lots of things that we take into consideration as we create a menu, and oftentimes some of these really wonderful recipes that we come up with are creations that are variations on things that exist out there that you can get pretty much anywhere, but just they've been modified so that they meet our guidelines.
Great. Great. Yeah, that's definitely my experience. Tasty and nutritious.
Yeah. This is a very exciting time of year because we have the opportunity to shop more locally in terms of supporting local gardeners and people who produce food locally and organically. We have farmers markets, two very close by to the monastery in the two cities that are closest to us. And we're gonna take advantage of those as much as possible over the summertime while they're offering it. And we try to choose organic as often as possible, and since that actually reflects our values.
Great. Great. And I'm guessing you look at stuff like protein and fiber content and like that?
Yes. Yeah, very much so. So that everything is very well balanced. We've discovered several very wonderful sources of protein. We've explored tofu quite a bit, but we've recently discovered this product called QURN, pronounced corn, that is produced from mushrooms of all things, and it's supposedly high in protein, and we've been making some wonderful dishes with those because it simulates the chicken flavor that some of us have come to know as we've been growing up and able to simulate meals that taste like that.
Yes, I love those corn products as well.
Uh-huh. And there's a lot of other factors involved in producing menu. We look at cost because we take stewardship of the resources that the monastery receives very seriously. We try to use everything as much as possible. There's a great consideration put into how many times we're able to heat up food over and over again. We only do it a couple times because more than that reduces nutritional quality. And so there's so many intricacies to what we consider as we see what's available on the table. Like, does it really make sense to offer this since it costs so high? Could there be another way to accomplish the same thing? And at the same time, not skimping out on what we actually value too.
Yes. Sounds great.
Yeah. One of my favorite things, though, I just want to say something so I get Michael a chance, was I really love the fact that people end up feeling better after they leave a retreat with us, having eaten really great food and it not being loaded with fat or any of the other kinds of things that make people feel sluggish and things like that. I just remember a comment that someone had made about our chocolate cake. She says, "This was the best chocolate cake I've ever had, and it's the one cake that I've had that didn't bite me back." And
wow.
I just remember laughing at that. I thought, that's perfect.
That's great. And Alex, I want to make one comment too. As I'm sitting here in the warmth, all I can think of is those wonderful, yummy, cold summer fruit soups.
That's pretty much all I can think about too, Michael. They are wonderful. Actually, we're going to be trying a new one probably tomorrow night.
Wow, well, wish I was there.
We'll save you a bowl, Michael.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
Michael, are you there?
Yes.
Great. Tell us a little bit about being the cook at the monastery.
Well, let's see. I think it's a great place to practice, and I run into, I think a good way to put it is edge after edge after edge. And also it's a great place to aspire. We just did a retreat on the Eightfold Path, and an aspect of it is compassionate aspiration. And I think it's compassionate aspiration which leads to, can someone help me?
That harms no one?
What?
That harms no one?
That harms no one, that's it, yeah. And so we have a quote in the Zen Monastery Cookbook which talks about a Zen cook loving rice like a father loves his own children.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that, since being asked to be the cook, I've aspired to. And so I'm in there aspiring away and
uh-huh.
cooking away and chopping away and doing things like that. And a lot of times it's it can be a real pressure cooker because meals need to be prepared on time, and it, at least it's very helpful when that happens.
Uh-huh.
And then I also get to really be doing my best to practice and attend to attention. And every once in a while, I have a great moment. And I had a moment recently where something happened. And one of the things that, as the cook, I'm paying attention to is making sure that the things that we have on hand, everything gets used, and nothing gets missed or overlooked, or for some reason doesn't have the chance to make it, you
yeah.
know, onto the table. And
yeah.
Recently we had something with several avocados where they went past ripe, and you know, I'm in there doing my best to have that type of thing not happen.
Yeah.
And I had a moment of just being really sad that we missed those avocados.
Yeah.
And it really reminded me of, you know, aspiring to love the rice, love the ingredients we're using, because they're a part of our lives, and they are they're nourishing us. And so having the opportunity to really see, wow, those avocados are important. Is something that I really appreciate, and I think that's part of the opportunity that's been given to me as the cook.
Yes, that's wonderful. What I hear in that is really a lot of care for everything.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And as you say that, and another one is we have we have notepaper that we use, and we write a little menu that goes at the head of the table so people can see what's on the menu, and it gets used for other things too, like writing notes that get posted, and there's a stack of them on the cook's desk.
Yes.
And just seeing that if I scribble on one half of the notepaper and I don't use the other half, I can use the other half too. And you know, even the notepaper is important. And and then the other kind of the way that I'm looking for also is not making myself go through hell because I didn't use half a sheet of notepaper, but but yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that is really exciting. And I'm appreciating what you said early on about seeing edge after edge after edge.
I couldn't hear that. Will you repeat that?
Sure. You were talking early on about being in the kitchen and how you work with, sounds like, edge after edge.
Edge after, yeah. 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 a good example of that for me right now is communicating before I act. And sometimes it's easy, and especially when it is easy, I can see how it really works, because we're all on the same page, and the people I'm working with aren't getting left out.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, that is one of the edges where it's like, well, it'd be really easy for me to use this extra tomato, and that it doesn't work. It doesn't work for me, for my, you know, what I'm doing practicing, and at the same time, it's that's definitely one of those places. There are a lot of places like that where if I'm not bringing it to the team, or just places where it's not so easy, where you think it might be so easy, and then I get to bring that. I use that extra tomato, and then see what happens from there. So,
very exciting.
Yeah,
sounds like a very rich practice there.
Definitely.
Michael, Alex, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Well, thanks for asking us, Michael.
Oh, my pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Melinda.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. It's good
How
to be
you?
Here.
Great. Great. Melinda, I have some announcements here.
You have?
Some announcements.
Oh, okay. You're blipping out a little bit, so I had to ask you to repeat yourself.
Okay, I'll try to speak directly into the phone here and see if that helps.
Okay.
So, Sherry will be at the Mountain View Zen Center on September 11th for a workshop called Practice Being What We Want for the World.
Yes.
And that's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
That's a don't miss it if you can possibly be there.
Yes, and particularly if you haven't been to the new Mountain View Zen Center. And even if you have been there.
Huh? Yes. Yeah, it's sort of it's not really the first event, but it's sort of an inaugural launching of our beautiful new Mountain View Zen Center.
Yes, indeed. And Sherry will be offering a retreat in Connecticut from October 17th to 20th, and that's called What You Practice is What You Have.
Mm. At the peak of the color season.
Yes, yes. Sounds very beautiful. And also, finally, certainly not least, the team will be arriving in Africa this week very soon, and so there'll be new blogs posted.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for that. I think that they're about to fly out of San Francisco, and so we may be able to read blogs in 3 or 4 days.
Yes, that'll be great.
Yeah.
And it was fun to hear Jen talking last week about the Dream Team that is joining them.
It's very exciting, isn't it?
Yes, yes. It seems funny to say Dream Team joining them, because I consider all of them the Dream Team.
Yes. The Dream Team expanding.
Yes, yes, indeed. Great. Melinda, shall we jump in?
Let's.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hi.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing really well. How are things where you are?
Things are good. Things are good. I was calling because today's sort of a marker day, an anniversary of sorts. This is the day that 3 years ago my divorce was final.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to sort of I don't know, mark it in some way, and I don't know what else. You know, you don't really exactly throw a party for that.
but it's notable that it is a notable anniversary for you.
Yeah, it felt significant, and so this it just seemed to be a perfectly. It just seemed like a perfect way to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I decided to call, I was feeling really happy and really, you know, this is like about a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how much, you know, I was really focused on the growth and the new life and the, all of the, you know, just the nice changes that have happened in my life in these last 3 years.
A really sort of nourishing transition for you.
Yeah, it has been. But what's here now is a lot of sadness.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't really expecting that. I was really all focused on kind of the all the good stuff, quote, good stuff, you know.
Yeah. And so are you being able to kind of articulate for yourself what the sadness is or who it is or both?
A little bit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of been a nonstop busy day. And so I was feeling kind of tired and worn down when I got home. And so this is sort of the first chance I've had to really, let me put it this way, it's been the first chance I've really taken to look at that.
Maybe to really acknowledge it and begin to give it a little bit of room to be attended to.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, it doesn't sound like there's any resistance to it. It's just an awareness. What I'm hearing is an awareness that among the many feelings, many of which are positive about the anniversary of the divorce being final, is also some sadness.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really doesn't feel like there's any resistance, but I tell you what is kind of happening as I'm looking at it is there are other things that are kind of that I can see conditioning kind of throwing onto the pile.
Oh, like, a little bit of kerosene on the fire.
yeah. Like let's look at all these other things that aren't working in my life right now, or in your life. Actually, saying your life right now, you know, and
yeah. And you see it.
Yeah. I didn't. I mean, I hadn't until just now, and that's really, really.
Yeah. And who is this saying, let's look at all the other things in your life that aren't working?
Yeah. It's just such a, I heard conditioning recently referred to as a shyster. It's really such a shyster.
Yeah, and so amazingly adept at kicking people while they're down.
Yes. And you know what, Sherry and everybody in this practice, we're always talking about how with just a shift of our attention, we can be free of it.
Yes.
And I can just feel that happening even while we talk. If I really can just shift my attention away from that, and that's it.
What I'm seeing as you're talking is that until it came in with that helpful description or whatever, you're okay with the sadness.
Yeah.
And by saying, let's look at what else isn't working, it kind of is stealing your being able to really be with the sadness.
Wow, yes. Yes.
Sort of a double whammy.
Yeah.
Not only are you supposedly, do you have these other things that aren't working, but also it's not going to let you just take time to be with the sadness and the part or parts who are sad.
Yeah. And, you know, if, let me see how I want to say this. I really would hate the thought that a 20-plus year marriage could end and there wouldn't be sadness to feel. You know, I would not want to miss that. You know?
What a good point. Because it did have meaning all the way along of one kind or another.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I was seeing as you were talking, Rebecca, about we can celebrate the joyful things. Perhaps there's a way we can celebrate the sad things, just in the sense of they too have been a part of how you came to be where you are now.
Yeah, that's so true. And I really wouldn't trade anything for any of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're okay with the life you've got.
Yeah.
This is a really, really nice place to be, isn't it?
Gosh, it sure is.
Yeah, it's so preferable to not being okay with the life you've got.
Yep. Since this really is our only choice,
we
have the life we've got.
Yeah. So to be okay with all of it, the joy, the sadness, the whatever. And
you
then
know, I was
here in the moment and with whatever is here.
You know, I'm kind of I'm back on what you said about celebrating the sadness. And
mm-hmm.
what first came to mind was that there's really, I would have to sort of create something. There's nothing I can think of that's a sort of a ritual or a cultural thing that celebrates that sadness.
Right.
But then what kind of came to mind is one way to do that would be to write about it.
Yes. Oh, how perfect.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of into that these days.
I had heard rumor of that.
Well,
and it seems so perfect.
Yes, it's a beautiful suggestion and a perfect outlet, I guess.
Yeah. Very neat.
Well,
just a perfect way to take care of everybody in terms of the internals who all have different feelings about things.
Yeah, you know, Michael mentioned in open air in the Good News Update, taking it to the team, and what a perfect way to bring this to the whole internal team here. You know?
Acknowledge everybody, accept everybody,
include
let everybody,
everybody have
a voice.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm looking forward to doing that now.
That's really exciting.
Well, for me too. Thank you so much, Melinda.
Oh,
I really
you're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Yeah, and I just want to say I really appreciate being able to have a place like this to share this kind of thing. And so bows to you and to Michael and everybody that makes this happen.
Yeah, including you.
Including me. That's right. Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air. Melinda, yes, it is a big privilege to be a part of this, isn't it?
It's huge. I was looking at it before the call thinking just how incredibly fortunate I feel being able to do this periodically and be in touch with Sangha in this very intimate way. It's just great.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And I was really enjoying what you were talking about with Rebecca in terms of being okay with the life that we have.
Yes. Yeah, it seems, you know, the more we practice, it feels like the clearer it becomes that this really is it.
Exactly.
The moment that each of us is in with whatever view we have, with whatever feelings we have, this is the one we've got. We could celebrate each and every one of them.
Yes, and all the rest of it is just made up.
Just made up, yep.
Exciting, exciting. All right, let's get to the next caller.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Melinda. Hi, Michael. This is Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
How are you guys tonight?
Doing great. What's happening in your world?
Well, I always get so nervous when I call in, but I'm calling because I had a very difficult incident, and life seems to go along pretty well. I'm retired and live in a lovely retirement community in Florida and have two great kids who are happily in their lives and not living with me. And, you know, life is pretty darn good. My husband is wonderful. My pets are great. But then it seems as though, you know, I'm going along fine, and then I hit a bump, and about 2 weeks ago I hit a really, really nasty bump that I still seem to be suffering from. So I, in talking with some Sangha members, they said, why don't you call the radio show? Uh-huh. And of course, I couldn't possibly remember to do it, and, you know, there were all the reasons in the world why I couldn't, but here I am.
Yes, great. I hope lots of folks listening are hearing what you're saying, because conditioning will do everything it can to keep us from kind of opening up to other possibilities than what it has going on inside our heads.
Yeah, well, that's definitely what it was doing. In fact, I got on the computer a little while ago and went to my calendar and saw radio show, and I went, oh, no, that's today.
Uh-huh.
And then I was thinking, maybe I should go for a walk. Maybe I should, you know, but I nailed myself to my seat and said, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
But what happened was I was at our pool. We have a lovely pool. And unfortunately, there was a couple there, and they were beyond inebriated and extremely rude. And
kind of takes the fun out of the party, doesn't
it? It did. And I don't tend to hold back a lot. And so when he jumped into the pool and was next to me smoking a cigarette, I just asked him if he would, you know, think about maybe getting out and not smoking in the pool, because out of the pool I could at least choose where I could be, but I couldn't get away from the cigarette smoke in the pool. And while he chose to do that, with some reluctance, and I'm trying to use the nicest words I can, he came back in with a vengeance, and there were four of us, including my husband and another couple, and he was just beyond furious, and I think his alcoholic state caused him to put his focus right on me, and for about the next 15 minutes until we got ourselves out of there, and a different neighbor ended up calling the police, and he just was beyond menacing and threatening and cursing and you know, it was just
what it sounds like.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
And I just went into such a tailspin that I couldn't believe it. I actually, you know, I was fine in the moment. But then when I got home, I couldn't sleep. I chewed on my lip and had two giant sores on my bottom lip. And I actually got such a bad head cold and chest cold that I was in bed for a week. And, you know, I feel so strongly that these are all really reactions to that horrific event. And so with the help of Sangha, I was, you know, going through, and I could recognize a small child who was she was probably about 6 or 7, and a little girl of alcoholic parents.
Wow. Yes.
A lot of yelling, a lot of screaming going on. And then I also recognized a young woman with two small children in an abusive first marriage that was very difficult, not as much alcohol involved, but a lot of screaming and a lot of yelling. And I didn't have a clue what to do for them. And I sunk into my broken lip, and I, you know, had to put all sorts of medicine on my lip because I was a mess, you know. And then all I wanted to do was sleep, and part of that was my cold. But also, it's a great technique that my friends call take to your bed, as if I could sleep, and when I wake up, all those horrible feelings will be gone.
And so, Sandy, how are you working with where you are now? With what happened and with all of the things that have happened since then?
Well, I'm conditioning is being very unkind. What a surprise.
Yes,
and
surprise.
Beating me up and telling me that I'm not very brave because I'm a little worried about going back to the pool. Although, you know, I did handle things. Like I said, on the surface, I handled everything. I put in a formal complaint, and the people have been, you know, issued summons not to come to the pool again because of their behavior. And, you know, there were six of us there and we all signed it. So I did all those kinds of things. But it's the underneath, it's the young woman and the little child that are still in the corner shaking.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'm, you know, doing the best I can, but I'm still shaky.
Yeah. And is that being identified as a problem?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I liked me before. I liked me before that incident. I wasn't shaky. I felt confident and secure. And I grew up, and I wasn't that little girl anymore. And
yeah.
I got a divorce and took my two children and created a new life and put that one behind me. So I wasn't that young mother terrified anymore. And to get thrown back into those positions again really shook me. And I think one of the things I hated the most is we've only been retired for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And so the people that I are my friends now in my support group here are fabulous. I love them all dearly. But they don't know the past. And that's one of the nice things about a retirement community. It's almost like it can start over.
Uh-huh.
But
I had
the worst feeling. I didn't want to tell everybody about my past, because while that might have helped them to understand why I felt so shaky, then it also made it a little more real.
Aha, uh-huh, the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I didn't want to be a victim again.
Uh-huh.
And that's the story that keeps playing through my head. I don't want to be a victim again. I don't want to be a victim again.
Yeah.
But I am. I'm that little girl and I'm that young mother, and I don't like it.
Yeah, and you know that's not all of you.
It is not all of me, but those two personalities are taking up more of me than I would like.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds like when they were the operative personalities, in a way, when you were living through those life circumstances, they did the absolutely best they could, given the life circumstances they had.
I think they did.
And it sounds like you got out of the abusive first marriage, that there was a you there who really knew what needed to happen to take care of everybody.
It came about. It wasn't fast, but I got it done.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't fast. You got it done. If I had been you, I would have been kind of shaky through the whole process.
Yeah.
And now you're in a different situation that is triggering those earlier events. And somehow it sounds like it's being interpreted as if that's the you now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. You're saying it back to me exactly how I'm experiencing it. I feel the nightmares that I'm having. I'm having night terrors again, and I haven't had those in years and years and years.
Uh-huh.
I'm waking
yeah.
up with a start, and I'm sure there's someone about to get me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's not reality.
Kind of
I've
like
gone
traumatic stress happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what in the past was, how did you get through the night terrors before?
Mm-hmm. You know, after years of therapy and
mm-hmm.
everything I possibly could do, I finally got to a point where I said, I can't control this. If somebody's going to get me, they're going to get me, and I just need a good night's sleep.
Uh-huh.
And I let it go.
Okay. And did you hear that as you said it?
I did.
Yeah, yeah. Because you did get through it, and you found ways to take care of the traumatized parts of you, which was pretty amazing because it sounds like a lot of trauma. And you got to a place where, okay, if somebody's going to get me, they're going to get me, and by golly, I'm going to have a decent night's sleep.
Yes. Yeah. It was probably desperation, sleep deprivation and desperation, but it works.
Wisdom.
Yeah, probably.
And acceptance.
Acceptance. Oh, my, what a lovely word.
Great.
Yeah, I do.
And I would project that those shaky folks could use some acceptance along about now, because they had a rough go of it that night at the pool.
Yeah, they did.
And what self-hate is trying to do is make them the bad guys.
Yeah, I'm finding myself telling them, go away, go back where you were. I took care of you. I put you away. I don't want to live. I've lived through this once, and I don't want to live through it again. Go back.
Yes, and when your children were little and they were having difficulties and they'd skin their knees and were crying, I bet you didn't say, go away, don't bother me.
No, I didn't.
Wouldn't have been popular or very effective.
No, not so much. Yeah, so we've come to compassion and acceptance, huh?
Isn't that a wonderful place to wind up?
It is a wonderful place to wind up.
Yeah. Compassion for all of it and acceptance for all of it.
Melinda, can you help me with figuring out...
We're not.
conditioning wants to call compassion being the victim.
Oh, really? How does,
yeah.
How does it do that?
It says that if I say, oh, you know, that poor little girl, I'm so sorry that, you know, life was so hard for you and you did everything you could and look what you've been able to do, and, you know, showing her compassion and telling her that it's okay, that was then, this is now. Then conditioning jumps in and says, oh, so you're going to be that little girl again. And so you might need some compassion for what happened at the pool the other night. And so the only way to get it is to bring up that little girl who needed all that compassion.
Oh, right.
And so if you play the victim card, then you'll get the compassion you need.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I don't want that.
Which is the way conditioning would want us to do it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If we're playing a victim card only in order to get compassion.
Yeah.
Other than somebody's having some feelings and needs to be accepted.
Mm.
It sounds like you can hear the the garbage.
I can.
That behind that approach that conditioning is wanting to suggest is true.
So giving compassion to myself and the young mother and the little girl is not synonymous with being the victim.
Can you get a sense of that?
No.
Mm-hmm.
They feel the same.
And what does it feel like when you go to that place of, hey, if you're going to get me in the middle of the night, get me in the middle of the night, but I'm going to have a good night's sleep.
Hmm. That feels strong.
Mm-hmm.
I feel strong and independent.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't feel at all like the other feelings.
Right. So something slips in when you consider accepting the parts of you who have been traumatized and are reliving those traumas. Something slips in to suggest that you're playing a victim.
Mm.
You know, it might be interesting if it brings that line in again, just agree with it.
Oh.
And then go ahead and receive the care that's being offered.
Thank you.
You're right, I'm a victim. And I need a little attention.
Mm-hmm.
I've had run into some rough bumps lately.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I will certainly give that my very best shot. Thank you, Melinda.
Maybe check back in at some point, huh?
I will. Thank you too, Michael.
Thanks, Sandy. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sandy. You're listening to Open Air. Melinda, it always strikes me as such a privilege to hear people call in and share.
Michael, I just lost your voice.
Okay, let me try again.
There you are.
It always strikes me as such a privilege to hear people when they call in and share.
Yes, and I am struck over and over that conditioning has absolutely no mercy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, especially when we're going through rough spots.
Especially when we're going through rough spots. That's just an opportunity to try and make it worse for us.
Yes, seems to be what its goal is. Linda, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and a really useful message, and then we'll be right back.
Very fine. Talk to you shortly.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Tonight it's our pleasure to be joined by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Melinda, we have more callers here.
Oh, very fine. Let's talk.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Melinda and Michael. This is Chris.
Hey,
hi.
Chris.
Hi.
Must be 6 weeks.
Actually, it's 7. Last week was my day off, but we were out hiking, and it didn't happen. But this week, I just figured out, I just figured out a way to do it.
Oh, that's
and so
great!
I'm actually on my cell phone, being driven home. So, good. What I've been dealing with the last several weeks is something I really haven't had to deal with before, which is like ongoing body pain.
Ongoing
and
body pain.
Yeah, just a lower back and sciatica type stuff. Nothing I've really had to do with and deal with before, and I'm noticing I'm really in my head about it a lot. And in fact, there was a chance tonight that I would have only been able to talk for a couple of minutes, but I just really wanted to call because just making the call helps me disidentify enough, even if it's just for a short time. And I tend to spend a lot of my day up in my head and trying not to look into the future about how this is going to be or not going to be and everything else and comparisons and whatnot.
Yeah, because conditioning wants to make up all these stories about what this means about you're going to be completely unable to function in just a few weeks now and it'll be the rest, whatever it's telling you. It just loves to take something that's going on in the moment and try to turn it into a disaster scenario for the future.
Mm-hmm. And I'm finding it's all really believable right now. I had a really helpful reflective listening buddy call last night, and I was able to see actually that I have a lot of comparisons pop up in my head, and what I've noticed is that they're all different kinds of comparisons, or like such as some people are worse off than I am. Or some people have been injured worse than I am, but they've recovered, or any other things. And in each of the comparisons, I sort of end up on the list of it's not going to work out for me kind of a thing.
Yeah, this isn't so bad. No, it's worse. No, it really isn't so bad, but it could be worse. And it's keeping you, I think, as you're really seeing, it's keeping you in your head with a lot of thoughts about it that have absolutely nothing to do with your experience in the moment.
Yes.
And have you been able to be with your experience in the moment without the Howard Cosselling going on in your head?
For short periods of time. And that's what I've really noticed is that, yeah, it's just a short time, and I'll be with the breath a little bit, and then eventually I'll get snapped back into it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And how is it when you are able to just be with the breath?
It sure feels like it. My back hurts less.
Yeah.
I mean, it may only be for literally two breaths at a time, but during those times, it just doesn't seem as bad.
Right, and so conditioning has a huge investment in making sure you don't get any quiet time.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, because it wants to be up there, kind of, it sounds like, creating resistance to the pain.
Oh, yes, lots of resistance to the pain. I really don't want this. I can make you a list now of all the things I'd rather, all the things that I'm prevented from doing now, and even things now, and then things in the future that I won't be able to do.
Right, right. It's quite sure of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so what are you, how are you being with yourself as you go through this?
I'm not sure how to answer that question. What I've noticed is when there's less pain, I feel more chipper, and when there's more, I feel more grumpy or short
mm-hmm.
with people or that kind of thing. I've had a few moments where I get all woe is me about it, but
mm-hmm.
mostly I'm just noticing that a lot of resistance to having to deal with this and not wanting this.
Right, right. And are you getting a sense when you are able to take those couple of breaths that the just sort of being with it and attending to yourself in the moment is actually alleviating some of the pain?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting,
yep.
Isn't it? Because it wants to pull us up into our heads and take our attention away from the moment
mm-hmm.
and talk about the pain and the future of the pain, and in doing that, really heightening it.
Yes. That's
instead
exactly
of
what happened.
Just, okay, I'm here, there's a breath. The sensation seems to be a little bit less painful. No, let's pull him away and get him up here in conversation about how dark his future is.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the best way for you to support yourself in this one, Chris?
Well, I'm thinking, well, the person who seems to be getting the most grief is the guy who wants to be active and do stuff, whether that's running and biking or even just working outside in the yard or something.
Yeah, so, of course, it's picking on those things to tell you you're not going to be able to do them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I just, you know, I'm not going to go biking today because this hurts, and I'm not going to go do this, and...
Mm-hmm.
And it's really believable because I bike to work in the mornings, and it's painful, but it's, no, we only have one car, so but something I do, but it's a little pain, and so that just having that there makes it all the more believable that, you know, it's never going to end, even though I'm convinced that it will.
Aha! Uh-huh. Let's hear from him. The one who's convinced that it will.
Well, the one, he's he takes I don't know, he just from what he's read about sciatica and stuff and talked to a physical therapist, it's something that comes and hangs around for 4 or 5, 6 weeks or something, and then often disappears and will disappear, and it's just a matter of finding some movement that'll help out the body to get to a place of recovery.
Yeah, where it'll let go.
Yeah.
And I would project that all of the conversation, especially the way conditioning slants the conversation, actually makes everything tighten up.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but that's probably true. But definitely the guy who wants to be active, and this actually came up last night on my other call, but the guy who wants to be active and do stuff and hike, he's the one really who just needs some reassurance that this is going to not be here forever.
Yeah. And can you give him that?
Yeah, I don't know. I get so distracted by, just the whole event that I have not actually sat down and figured out a way to do that or come up with some good lines or what have you of this reassuring statements. But yes, I can do that.
Yeah. That might be a neat place for the two-chair exercise.
Yes, it would be.
Sort of your reflective listening, because it sounds like folks are there who, there's obviously some folks who really need attention and need to be taken care of, and there's at least one person, if not more, who can do that attending, taking care of, reassuring.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to have them going, have them in a dialogue.
Yeah, that would be. I can do that. That'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll do that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that sounds like some homework.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Chris, that the parts of you who need reassuring have the evidence of your commitment, and you're following through on your commitment.
Mm-hmm.
As this is a guy we can, he's going to be there for us. He sets up this phone call every month and a half, and he follows through. We can count on this guy.
Yeah, that's good to hear, too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's such wonderful modeling for all the folks who, could and I think it's probably most of us who could benefit from making those kinds of commitments for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
We'll look forward to hearing how it goes, Chris.
Me too. All right.
All right.
Thank you, Melinda.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air. Melinda, I really appreciated at the end there your... What I heard in it was a real acknowledgement of what we are doing and the commitments that we are making and keeping.
Yes. Yeah, it's so easy for conditioning to have us forget those. And because when we get into the realm of acknowledging the things we are doing, conditioning's power gets diluted.
Yes. Because in my experience, people who are practicing make extraordinary commitments.
Yes.
Keep them.
Courage all over the place.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Melinda, let's hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be back.
All righty.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, once you swam in a
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Melinda, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Melinda. Hi, Michael. It's Lakota.
Hey, Lakota.
Hi.
How are things up north?
Oh, pretty good. I'm so happy to have made it onto the call. As soon as I heard that you are now unmuted, this big, huge smile came on my face.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. And I just want to say thanks in advance for this great support that the show is.
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah. I was having some experiences the last day or two of kind of conditioning, kicking me while I'm down kind of thing.
Yeah.
Really having a, you know, just pulling out all the practice tools I had, but still having such a hard time just getting one breath in kind of thing. And
yeah,
I knew this show was coming up and I had that to look forward to. And it was like this kind of beacon.
Yes.
Like my house kind of thing.
So everything you were doing felt like it was not kind of quite getting through in the way that you really wanted it to, but you had the show, you had the radio show to sort of reassure yourself.
Yeah. Yep. But I just knew that there's this really powerful support that is available, and it's great.
Yeah. And there is this guy, the one who just called in, who's really good at taking advantage of the supports that are available.
That's true.
Yeah.
And he is just utterly committed to availing himself of all the supports, too.
That's huge. Yep.
He's always... Yeah, that is huge.
Yeah. So what's been happening?
Well, I think one thing I notice is there's this getting really busy and like getting really focused on getting something done.
Mm-hmm.
This process that seems like it's the gateway that kind of really opens the door for conditioning to get in there.
Uh-huh. So you get really focused on getting things done rather than how you're doing what you're doing?
Yeah, like getting something done or doing something well is more important than how I'm doing it. It's what
yeah.
is the kind of
yeah.
information you get.
Yeah, so we can guess somebody, at least one somebody, maybe several somebodies are in there, probably not having a great time.
yeah, for sure. And I don't know, it's easy to get confused and kind of believe the story that, you know, this is just how it is and that, you know, things are really, really busy now and there's no alternative but to just follow it around being really, really busy.
Yes, that you have to be in the really, really busy, I don't have time to take care of Lakota. Does it kind of go that direction?
Totally. There's actually even an element of, like, I hate that it's like this, but it's just how it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, and do you, that sounds like it might be a subpersonality who pops up from time to time, if not a lot.
The getting things done person?
Yeah, and I hate that it's like this, but this is just the way it has to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah, for sure. That one pops up in different circumstances, no doubt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
And what is it that he hates?
Well, it depends on the circumstance, but a lot of times he hates He hates the huge responsibility and what seems like a burden on his shoulders, and the kind of inability to just relax and enjoy what he's doing and have fun.
Uh-huh. And how old would you guess he is? Can't relax. He's got this huge responsibility, and he really feels it. Really feels like he's got a lot on his shoulders.
My first answer was going to be he's 34, because it feels so much like skin. It's like just feels like who I am a lot of the time. But but you know, I do kind of can see this younger this kid. You know, maybe 7 or 8. You know.
Yeah.
It's really taking things really seriously. Like even at school, like in second grade. Just getting really stressed out about a work project at school in second grade.
There he is.
That's
fantastic to see, isn't it?
Yeah.
So a second grader winds up going to work or just getting into this really, really, really busy, and I hate it that it's like this, but we're stuck with it. And have you got some reassurances for him? Sounds like he's being, well, you said there was some really big work project he had to do when he was, in second grade?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe like it doesn't matter how you do, you know, it doesn't matter like how well you do or whether you succeed or not, or there's no standards. It's just all you have to do is just show up and you're allowed to enjoy it and relax.
Uh-huh. Does it feel like he could actually hear that?
I don't know. He just feels so afraid of what would happen if he did that, I think. Like there's some major consequence, it seems like.
Uh-huh. And what's the worst thing that could happen?
Oh, boy. I don't know. I mean, it really seems like this guy really seems like the whole world would come crashing down if you know, the work project didn't get done.
It's like he's holding it all together with his little 7-year-old shoulders.
That's the truth. Totally.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
I guess maybe to offer the reassurance that not actually holding it all together, that life is just going along just fine without him, and that, you know, he's going to be safe.
He's going to be safe.
If he lets go into it, yeah.
Yeah. And are there times when he can actually put it all down and feel okay about himself and feel okay about and feel safe?
There are times, for sure, they really feel, I mean, a lot of the times it feels like it depends on the conditions kind of thing.
Right, but he knows the feeling.
Yeah, he knows the feeling for sure of, like, laying the burden down and relaxing and just enjoying being there, and he loves it.
Aha! Uh-huh. Oh, I bet. It sounds so good.
He loves that.
Yeah. So maybe there's a mentor type hanging out who can remind him, or who can, you know, kind of point him in the direction of, hey, let's just set it all down and go out and toss a ball around.
Yeah.
Or something along, you know, whatever would speak to him.
Yeah. I like that. And I like the idea of just kind of disrupting that. It feels like there gets to be this like building energy of like urgency and getting things done, and it kind of like the longer it goes, the harder it is to break out of, but just periodically stopping that and like, I don't know, maybe stretching or going for a walk or just like breathing.
Breaking into that habit pattern, it sounds like, that gets set up that keeps him keeps him from being able to breathe freely.
Yeah. That just seems like such a great place to look, because I can see how, like, that is the kind of baseline process that opens the door for conditioning to come in and just heap all kinds of other horrible stuff on top.
Yeah, and probably he doesn't, not only does he not feel good at the end of the day or even through the day, but he probably doesn't get as much done as he would if he could actually breathe while he was working.
Oh, that's true, for sure. Yeah, because I have had those experiences of kind of allowing the relaxation to happen and just being amazed at how much stuff gets done.
Yes. Yeah.
There's the thing that's really been going on the last couple of days is that there's been this kind of this process going on of dread of this potential thing that could happen in the future.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, just a little content is that I'm a supervisor at work, and just a funny little chain of events came together that made it so that it's likely potential that in the near future I would have to be my girlfriend's supervisor for a period of time.
Oh, happy blessed opportunity is what we call that.
Where the heck is? and what's coming up is this process of conditioning, kind of building it up to be this horrible, horrible thing, and, you know, like worst case scenario, and then the sense of dread and worry about it.
Uh-huh. And so how are you working with that, Lakota?
Well, it's really hard when the energy is ramped up and I'm in that busy state kind of thing to deal with it, like, compassionately. But I did notice today, I don't know, it just dropped in, was that I have no idea what will happen. I don't know if that will ever even happen. And if it does, I don't know that it wouldn't be totally enjoyable.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's so good to see that, isn't it?
Yeah, and that kind of cracked things open a little bit. So there's
yeah.
no more.
You're not supposed to see that sort of thing. You're supposed to be up there in all of the stories of how bad this is going to be, how everything is just going to be. And you notice it never even finishes the story of what the ending's going to be. It just
right.
tells you it's going to be awful.
Yeah, yeah, it is very vague.
yeah. So it drops in for you that, hey, this could be totally fun, totally enjoyable. Why don't we wait and see?
It really could be. And it reminded me of kind of the what the previous caller said about the night terrors and the fear of somebody getting them in the night.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you know, maybe it will be a total catastrophe and it'll be awful, but I sure the heck don't want to waste right now worrying about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Or go into the situation if it does actually come to that, to go into it with, oh my God, this is going to be awful. This is going to go into it all tensed up and anxious and instead of, hey, what's going to happen? This is going to be really, really, really interesting.
Yeah. Boy. Yeah, conditioning is working overtime to make sure that I don't bring that attitude into it.
Right. Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Which is no fun at all, is it?
No.
Might as well. You know, you might as well go with the scenario that dropped in that it could be totally enjoyable and go into it with, hey, let's find out how this is going to be enjoyable. Because we know it is, one way or another.
I like that.
If nothing else, Lakota, it'll be perfect practice.
And it seems like just such a lot more fun place to spend some time and attention.
Oh, yes. more fun, and you get to have the energy rather than you know who.
Yeah, amen. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lakota. Report back, huh?
I will, for sure.
Great.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lakota. You've been listening to Open Air. We've had a great show. And
yeah, we're out of time, aren't we, Michael? Thank you so much.
Yes, and thank you so much for joining us, Melinda.
My pleasure. It was great fun.
Yes, and we'll do it again.
All right. Look forward to it.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.